Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you a fascinating story of two prophets and a lion. The story is found in 1 Kings chapter 13, and I'm going to read this scripture story to you in its length, 32 verses, because it is so fascinating and there are many parts of it that will give us illumination on the subject of hearing God's voice or hearing and obeying the word of the Lord, and the various attacks that will come against a person who has heard God's voice or His clear direction, and how those attacks from the enemy seek to steal the very word of the Lord from their life or to prevent them from walking in obedience, and how the end result of disobeying the word of the Lord can result in literal disaster. But we will learn some fascinating things today as we take a look at this story found in 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half of your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him, and he ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, 'Eat no bread and drink no water,' your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, and the prophet whom he had brought back. When he had gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. So when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him." And he spoke to his son, saying, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." So it was, after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, will surely come to pass. Now, this is a fascinating story, and it has many implications. First of all, I'll give you a little bit of background. We find the setting being that King Jeroboam had become an apostate king. He was not faithful to God. He had turned the people away from serving the true God, was burning incense on the high places and honoring false gods. And so the man of God, who had received a word from the Lord, went in obedience to God and proclaimed judgment against Jeroboam and the activities and the high places that he had set up. And so this man, who's not identified by name here in 1 Kings 13, went at the word of the Lord. He started out well. He started out moved or obedient to the word of the Lord. He was bold and he was very confident. He was literally fearless. He stood up against the king of the land and literally spoke the very word of God, saying that judgment was going to come upon this place and upon the country and upon the king because of their disobedience and how their hearts had turned away from God. In fact, his prophetic word was so accurate, where he actually named Josiah, a king who would not be born for another 300 years. That gives you the accuracy of the prophecy that this man carried to King Jeroboam. So what happened? The prophet started out well, as many Christians do. They're moved or obedient to the word of the Lord, a word from God in their life. And yet we often have seen in Christians' lives, they start out well. They literally start out obedient. They start out doing what God had spoken to them to do, and yet their end does not end up the way God intended, or they don't end up doing as well as they appeared to be in the beginning. Well, what happened to this man often happens in many lives. The first thing that we see that came against this prophet or this man who was obedient to the word of the Lord, the very first attack of the enemy, you could say, that came against him from obeying God's word would be that attack of fear. He was immediately threatened by the enemy, and he faced immediate resistance and the literal temptation to fall into the grip of fear, because the very first thing when he cried out against the altar in front of Jeroboam, who was standing there burning incense, the very first thing that happened to him in verse 4 was that King Jeroboam heard it and was angry, and he stretched out his hand and he said, "Arrest him." So immediately we see the resistance against the word of God and the attack of fear that tried to grip this man from trying to obey God's word. You know, when you are trying to obey the word of the Lord, Satan will come against you and try to impart fear to your life, try to make you afraid to follow through on what God has told you to do and what you know to be right. Satan will try to give you images of disaster, images in your mind of how this will never work and how you'll fall into tragedy or you'll become a fool or a failure if you're obedient to the Lord. Satan will come against you, threatening you, just like this king did with the prophet when he stepped out to obey God's word. He threatened him, and the prophet faced immediate resistance with this threat that tried to grip him with fear. But he did not give in to fear. And in fact, God vindicated him immediately, because in verses 4 to 6, we see that God very clearly gave confirmation of his message, because it says that the king, when he stretched out his hand toward him, his hand immediately withered. The Lord literally backed up his prophet with a miraculous sign and did not allow that enemy of the purposes of God to prosper. No weapon formed against us will prosper, the word of God tells us. And we see here that God stood right up for his man of God of the hour, causing the king's hand to wither so that he could not pull it back to himself, as we see in verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 13. And then secondly, he confirmed the word that the prophet spoke, because the prophet said there will be a sign. And one of the signs would be that the altar would split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. And immediately we see in verse 5, the altar was split apart and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. God will always affirm his obedient servant. You may face difficulty, you may face resistance, you may face an attack where Satan's trying to put fear on you to not do what God wants you to do, but God will vindicate you and prove that you're being obedient to the Lord in the end. Now, the second attack that this prophet faced was the temptation to give into fleshly comfort and into flattery. And we see this when the king changes his tune with the prophet. After the prophet prayed for him and his hand was restored, immediately we see the king trying to flatter him and offer him gifts. He told him, "Oh, come back with me. You know, I'll feed you. I'll give you a reward." But the man of God stood firm against that attack. And I'll tell you what, that attack is only battled by recounting exactly what the word of the Lord was to you, so you don't fall into the deception that comes when people, perhaps they'll flatter you and say that you are, "Oh, you're so spiritual, you're so good." Don't give into that kind of fleshly comfort or flattery. Be very diligent to do exactly what the Lord tells you and resist that kind of temptation, because it's focused and its purpose from the enemy of your soul is to sidetrack you from doing what God exactly told you to do. So God wants you to resist that type of strategy that may come against you when you're seeking to do the word of the Lord. It's vital for you to do exactly to the letter what God says and not be gotten off track by somebody's flattering words. The third attack that we see was the one which snared the prophet. He resisted the first two very well. He did not give in to the spirit of fear, even though he was threatened by the king of the land with being imprisoned immediately. He didn't give in to fear. He did not let fear lay hold of him. So he passed that first test or that first attack. The second attack that came against him, he passed also. He did not give in to the temptation to give in to comfort or flattery. When the king offered him comfort, oh, come and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward, the prophet said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I wouldn't go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So the way to beat that type of attack is to recount exactly the word of the Lord to your life and be obedient to the letter. But this third attack, this is where the prophet made his fatal mistake. And yet remember, this man of God started out very well. He left his home and he moved by the word of the Lord. He was obedient to the word of the Lord. He was fearless. He was bold. So he started out very, very well in God, doing exactly what God said and speaking forth this tremendously accurate prophecy. And yet, even though he could hear God's voice clearly, somehow he fell into error. How was it? The third attack was the crucial one for him. And we find it in verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 13. And I call it the attack of spiritual deception or confusion. And here we see in verse 18 these words. This prophet actually met another man who identified himself as a prophet. And the scriptures say that he was a prophet, and yet he gave him ungodly counsel. And let me just say this to you. Beware of spiritual deception or confusion that comes through the avenue of religious-sounding arguments from spiritual-sounding people. Because often Christians, people who are genuinely Christians, but perhaps they're not motivated by the Spirit of God, but by their own agendas or their own desires or their own needs or wants, or they just honestly don't have a word from the Lord for you and they're giving you natural advice, this can often be the most dangerous attack against your obedience to the Lord, because it appears to be coming from a friendly party, you could say. Whereas the first attacks were from clearly an enemy of the word of the Lord, and yet this last attack, which was the most subtle, was the one that snared the prophet. He got spiritual advice from what appeared to be a spiritual person, someone who identified themselves as a prophet, and the scripture does not deny that he was a prophet, but it said that he lied to him. And he told him, oh, come and eat bread and drink water with me. Come to my house. And yet the prophet again said, no, the commandment of the Lord came to me. I can't drink water or eat bread or even stay in this place. And the prophet lied to him because he had his own agenda. He wanted to hang out with this prophet. He probably hadn't seen another prophet in a long time. And he wanted this man's company. But he falsely said that an angel of the Lord had told him to offer him this, bring him back to his house and let him eat bread and drink water with him. But this was a lie. And now in this case, it was very intentional deception. Many cases of Christians giving counsel to other Christians that is not a word from God may not be intentional deception on the part of the party giving the advice, but it's still not the word of the Lord, and it doesn't line up with the word of the Lord given that was given. I saw an example of this in a young man's life who was trying to make a decision about ministry, whether he should go to one place or to another, or stay where he was. And the young man gave me the scenario, and he said that this person who was on staff at this church tried to convince him to stay by saying it must be God's will because this door has opened to you, referring to their own an opening in their own ministry staff. And yet the truth of the matter was, this person really wanted this individual to stay and tried to, you could say, encourage him or sway his decision by painting it as if it was the will of God for his life. That's a dangerous thing to say to anybody, that you have a word of God for that person's life. And this was an example of this, because that really wasn't where God wanted the young man. He was trying to move him on, and the young man was struggling with whether that was God prompting him to leave, when this ministry staff person laid on him this must be God's will for your life situation by offering him a job that would keep him there. And we have to be careful when we say things like that to people, that we're not operating out of our own motives, our own agenda, our own desires for somebody else's life. So spiritual manipulation was exactly what this third attack was against the prophet of God. And this can be seen when people try to tell another person, I heard from God for you. And this happened with this prophet when he told him, an angel of the Lord told me to take you back to my house and feed you. Well, that was a lie, a deception, a spiritual manipulation using God's name and spiritual things as the reason this person should do what he says. This was the fatal attack, because what ended up happening was that the end result of the prophet being deceived by this other prophet was that he ended up disobeying the exact word of God that he'd received, that he was not to eat bread, drink water, or return by the same way that he had come. And so when he disobeyed the Lord in this way by giving in to the prophet's advice or counsel, which was false, he ended up in a disastrous situation. The scriptures tell us in verse 20 to 24 exactly what happened. It says they were sitting at the table, and all of a sudden the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought the young prophet back to his house. And this gentleman was a genuine prophet. He did get words from God, and suddenly the Spirit of God came on him and said that God revealed to him right there, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but came back, ate bread and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. Well, that was a devastating announcement at the dinner table. And it was caused directly by the prophet who's now giving the word, because of his spiritual manipulation. And the end result we see is that the young prophet meets a lion on the road and is slain before he even gets out of town. And these are things that we need to consider. Why did some tragedy like this happen to somebody trying to do God's will? This is a question that we have often seen in church history. Why did tragedy strike someone who stepped out, who started out trying to do God's will? Well, the Word of God gives us some answers, and one of them is found in Hosea 4:6, and it's when people don't know certain things in the kingdom of God, tragedy can come to them, because ignorance can bring them tragedy or disaster. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So what a person doesn't know can hurt them. Secondly, and this is the case with this prophet, what a person does know they should do and they don't do will also be an open door for tragedy or disaster. And that's what happened in this life of this prophet of God mentioned in 1 Kings 13. In summary, just remember these things. Adverse circumstances are not necessarily an indicator of what is or isn't God's will. You could say the prophet met immediate adverse circumstances when the king was about to have him arrested. A lot of people fall into the deception that if this is God's will, everything will go smoothly for me. That is not a biblical principle. Secondly, open doors are not necessarily a reliable indicator of God's will. Satan can manipulate circumstances and influence people, and they'll think they are doing you a favor, just like the king trying to offer him refreshment and a prize at his house. It wasn't God's will, and it looked like a nice offer, but it was satanic in its origin. thirdly, the advice of other Christians is not necessarily an indicator of God's will for you either. Be careful to be obedient to the word of the Lord to the T, and God will bless you, protect you, and keep you as you walk in obedience to His word for your life. God bless you. Have a victorious day.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.